loose come out of it. One of the early books in the Old Testament, back in Exodus. This is one of the, a little bit of one of the, probably one of the greatest stories that's ever been told, outside of probably the birth of Christ. But when these people left Egypt and went into the wilderness, and actually they were going to their promise, to the land that had been promised unto them, and you know that it took them 40 years to get there. But to begin with, I want to read a little bit out of the 15th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now I'll assure you, if you had walked into a wilderness and it was a desert, is what it was, 3 days, and you hadn't found water, you'd be pretty concerned. And when they came to Marha, they could not drink the waters of Marha, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marha. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, it was made sweet. Then he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear unto his commandments, and keep all these, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee, that healeth thee." Now, if we had went 2 days out into a desert and we had found a pool of bitter water that we couldn't drink, and someone was able to pray unto the Lord, and the Lord heard them, and he was able to cast it into the water, and it came to where it was good to drink, I don't think that there'd be anyone here questioned of what is a miracle. But I do hope that if this ever happened to us, that we would remain faithful and follow after the Lord just a little longer than these people did. I want to get down here now a little further in this line of thinking, down into the 16th chapter here, beginning with the second verse. And this is only a short time again. "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the place pot, and when we did eat bread to the full. For we have been brought forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go forth and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Now he promised them he was going to take care of them. And they knew this from the time that they left Egypt. But when they got in the wilderness there, they began to murmur the first thing. But the Lord did take care of them. He was going to send food from heaven. Let's read a little over here in this 13th verse. And it came to pass that at evening the quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about. Dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." Now again, this would be a pretty great thing, wouldn't it, if this was sent down from heaven to feed this multitude. And I think that at one time we say that this was roughly around 3 million people that had went out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and they were here in the wilderness, and the Lord was taking care of them. And as we well know, that he told them that they could go in and possess the land of their inheritance. But we'll read a little further here what they done. But I think that these people probably weren't too far different than the people today. They could have taken this land, went into it, but they hesitated, and they murmured when things got a little bit tough and a little bit hard going. I've got an idea. It's pretty hot in that country at that time of the year. It might have not been too terribly hot, but there wasn't much water, and there didn't seem to be any food. And so the people complained that the Lord provided for them. But you would have thought that when the Lord was providing for them this way, that it would have been hard for them ever to turn away, and they would have only followed after the way of the Lord. But let's read a little bit what happens here. Let's go over here into Numbers and read in the 13th chapter. You know, there's quite a bit of the Old Testament that is devoted to the story of them leaving Egypt, and I think that it probably is an important thing for all of us to study it. And we probably ought to read that every once in a while and see what those people done, how they were provided for, and some of the hardships that they went through because they wouldn't follow the will of the Lord. And when we read these, we ought to, in a way, put ourselves in the same position as they were and imagine what we would have done. And then on the other hand, as we read these things, we can see what the Lord has done for us today. And how many of us may have an intention to do the same thing that they've done in those days, even today. I want to read in the 13th chapter. To tell just a little bit where these people were. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe their father shall send a man, every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now, they were going to send these people up to search out this land. And what would it say here? It says, in the second verse, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Now, the Lord wasn't going to give it to them if he didn't intend for them to have it. He planned on them going up there and having it, just like that, if they would have kept the commandments. But let's skip over here a little ways now and begin about in the 17th verse. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, Get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, that it, what it is, the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, many or few, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye a good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So this is probably along in the early summer, I would judge, or late spring. But they went up there. It was going to go up there and see what this land looked like. But they hadn't seen the land before. Now, whether Moses had seen any of this land, I'm not sure. But none of the rest of them had ever been here. None of them had ever looked upon this land. And they wanted to go out there, and Moses sent them out to see what it looked like. He didn't know just what needed to be done. And let's skip on down here a ways and go to about 23. And they came unto a brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they buried the king's two upon his staff, and they brought forth of the pomegranate and of the fig. That's quite a bunch of grapes, isn't it? You know, if we get a bunch of grapes here that's very small, and if they go down like this, we think we've really got a bunch of grapes. But here they cut a cluster of grapes, and they bear it on two men on a staff. I don't know how much it weighed. It could have weighed anywhere, I suppose, from 50 pounds to 150 pounds. I don't know. But I'm sure that if it weighed less than 50 pounds, two men wouldn't have carried it. But that would be just quite a bunch of grapes. So it was pretty evident the land was fruitful. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now this is always an important thing to remember. 40 days they went out and searched this land. Now, whether they walked out 10 or 12, 15 days and branched out and searched around in a few days and came back, I don't know. But they were only gone 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, if we sent out men to search a place, and they came back with fruit like that, we would suppose that it was a pretty wonderful place, which it was. And they told him and said, We come unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and their cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb filled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He had faith in the Lord, didn't he? He knew that this could be done. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And this is true. There was a group of mighty people up there. But with the power of the Lord with them, they shouldn't have feared. And after all the things that they had seen up to this time, they should have supposed that the Lord would be with them. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we had gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of giants, and they were in our own sight, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now we notice here that a few people were willing to hold back. And these few men, actually there was only two that decided that they should go in, but the other 38 decided that they shouldn't, and they held back. And they caused the whole multitude from this to have to wander 40 years in the wilderness. So let's go ahead a little ways down here. In the 14th chapter, starting with the sixth verse, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, I guess it is, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land, and the Lord delighteth in us. Then he will bring us unto this land and give it to us, a land which is floored with milk and honey. Now this is the way that they should have gone forth, isn't it? With faith. If the Lord delighteth in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Now, don't you suppose that if he could have done that, when it was 1,490 years before Christ, don't you think if he could have done it then, that if we stand in need of something like that today, he could also do it today? For rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And we'll read a few verses here of what happened. But here this terrible thing was about to come upon these people because they would not trust the Lord. They were afraid that they couldn't take those cities. And does anybody remember what happened to Jericho? They went up, they had to take that city, didn't they? And when they took it, the Lord helped them, didn't they? And this was many years, probably maybe 39 years after this time, that the Lord still helped them take that city. But they didn't have to do much battling. And they got the spoil of the city and everything. And I'm sure that if they would have went up at this time, they could have taken the city just as easy or maybe easier. I want to go on over here a little farther in this reading over here to well, let's see, I believe it's called 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall come unto the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Now the only one who's going to go in is Caleb, the son of Jehohanan, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have deserted or despaired. Now the little ones are going to get to go in, but not the older ones. None of them from 20 years old or older is going to go in, save those two, Joshua and Caleb. And there was a lot of pretty righteous people. But you know that most all of them, at one time or another, murmured against Moses and against the Lord. Even Aaron murmured against Moses. And even Moses, probably his older sister, I forget what her name was just now, but she murmured against Moses. Does anybody remember what happened to her because she murmured against Moses? She was stricken with leprosy, and I believe she had it 7 days. But she repented of her sin, and she was cleansed and was able to come back in amongst the congregation again. But people, and she was, if we recall, she was a prophet. And Aaron, we can't think of many people that was much greater than him in the sight of the Lord. But yet, he was not allowed to go in. Now Moses and Aaron's sister, I believe, died just a short while before they reached the land. But those people didn't need to suffer those hardships. And I wonder today, it's because we have possibly a lack of faith and we don't strive with great enough diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord, that maybe we suffer some hardships that we don't need to suffer. I'm sure that if you could find a group of perfect people, you wouldn't find many hardships among them. I don't say they'd be rich, but they'd still be rich in the blessings of the Lord. But here these people told that none of them was going to go into this land. Here they had left Egypt on a journey that possibly had taken not over 40 days. These men only went out, was gone 40 days, and they returned. And we don't know how long they explored the land. They might have explored the land for 20, 25, or 30 days. We don't know. But very possibly they could have made this trip in under 20 days, and they could have been in the land of the promised land. Instead of that, all of them that left Egypt, that was 20 years old or older, died in the wilderness. Except the two. In the 32nd verse, it says, but as far as you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcass be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, day for a year, shall you bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto you, this congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and they shall die. And there they shall die. And this is what happened to them. We know that many things that they done, they said the golden calf. And how many other things did they do? But continually, they were rebelling against the Lord. And the men which Moses sent to search the land were returned and made all the congregation to murmur against them by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even these men that did bring up the evil report unto the land died by the plague before the Lord. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search in the land, lived still. And Moses told those, saying unto all the children of Israel, the people murmured greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up unto at the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. I wonder if they thought they were going to be able still to wander right in there with no problem. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandments of the Lord, that it shall not prosper? Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. And these people were going up there, and they were told that the Lord wasn't amongst them, and we'll see what happened. And that you be not smitten before your enemies, that they couldn't go up there, or else they would be smitten. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go upon the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Harmon. Now this people that could have went in and could have been blessed, and were blessed people, were being smitten. Had they kept the commandments, this need not to have ever happened. But they did not keep the commandments, and they didn't follow after the ways of the Lord. And as we read this story, last night I read this account, similar to this, several different places in the scripture, and I told what happened to them throughout the Old Testament. And it's a marvelous story of a people. That it shows that the human nature of life. And I doubt seriously that as the world as a whole, it has changed since those years, 1490 years before Christ. If they would have just followed the commandments, they could have went up there, taken the land, and lived in peace. But we well know what happened to them. They had trouble from that time on. And why the people of the world today will turn to the Lord, if they can avoid this same type of, you might say, catastrophe. Now, it might not be that a whole group is going to die like this or have problems, but I'm sure that there's many individuals, if they would change their lives, turn to the Lord, and keep the commandments, that a lot of the problems they have would disappear. We know good and well that I think that they claim that, what is it, one person in 10 or something like this is a problem drinker, an alcoholic. Well, that takes up around 20 of the whole population of the United States. That takes up around 20 million people. We know that if that 20 million people sought after the Lord, that it would change an awful lot of lives in the United States. And it wouldn't take long to do it. I want to go over into Luke for a little bit of our reading here. In the 13th chapter, in the 34th verse, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Now this is over here, 33 A.D. That's over 1,500 years difference in the time, but not much difference in the conditions. Here in the Old Testament, the Lord tried to gather them. He protected them. He led them across the Red Sea. He gave them drinking water. He gave them food. And all of these things. And they wouldn't hear him. They wouldn't pay any attention. Not attention to him. But here in the time of the Lord, he says, how many times would he have gathered them and they would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I don't believe that those people have come to that point yet, do you? I don't think many people in the world have. But they could, and they could make an entire different outlook on their lives if they would do this. I want to go into 3 Nephi, another group of people that had a lot of problems. And if we will remember that when Christ was crucified, that upon the face of this land, there were 3 days of darkness. It was so dark, and it was so heavy that they couldn't even light a match. Or, they didn't have a match, I guess, but they couldn't make a fire. They couldn't make a light at any time. Now, I'll tell you, the 3 days of total darkness would seem like an eternity. Now, let's see what happened to them here in the 50, beginning with the 55th verse. And this is when a voice spoke unto them. And it came to pass that there came a voice again unto the people. And all the people did hear and did witness of it, saying, O ye people of these great cities which have fallen, who are descendants of Jacob, yea, who are of the house of Israel, O ye people of the house of Israel, how oft have I gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings to nourish you. Very similar to what he said in the scripture, in the Bible, isn't it? Now, if we'll go down here a little bit farther, in this same reading, down here to about 60. And now it came to pass that after the people had heard these words, behold, they began to weep and howl again because of the loss of their kindred and friends. Now, a good many people had been destroyed. There had been an earthquake, and there had been floods, and there had been terrible winds, and there had been a lot of people died. And it came to pass that thus did the 3 days pass away. And it was in the morning, and the darkness disappeared from off the face of the land. And the earth did cease to tremble, and the rocks did cease to rend, and the dreadful groaning did cease, and all the tumultuous noises did pass away, and the earth did cleave together again, that it stood, and the mourning and weeping and wailing of the people who were spared alive did cease, and their mourning was turned to joy, and the lamentations unto praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord Jesus Christ, their Redeemer. Now this showing a little bit of what happened. Now those people didn't need to have this happen either. If they'd been all righteous on this continent, that wouldn't have needed to happen. But they were happy that they were left alive. We know, as we read this, the rest of this reading, that it was the more righteous that were spared. Not all the people were spared, but the more righteous people It didn't say they were righteous, but the more righteous part of them was spared. And this is the way that it will be in the last day also. Now, all the people aren't going to be spared, but there is going to be some people that will be spared, and that will be the righteous. And it's our job to search out the scriptures and to know which way we're to go. And we can't rebel against the Lord. Now, these people here, the more righteous here, they got a chance. They got another chance. They were still alive. The Lord saved them. And they had a chance to repent. And we know that they did repent. And they followed the rest of their lives after the ways of the Lord. And that's a pretty great thing. But we can go over into 4th Nephi here, a couple of hundred years, I believe it was, later, before they become unrighteous. So I'm confident every person here lived a righteous life the rest of their lives. And that's quite something to happen. On the other hand, we look over there in Jerusalem. Those people eventually went in and took their land, and they received it. But how long did they follow after the ways of the Lord? It wasn't too long, was it? They had rebellion and discontent, and they had problems. And we know for a surety that 200 years after that, they had lots of problems. And they didn't need to have them. The same as the people on this time, when they followed after the ways of the Lord, when they repented here, they had about 200 years, I recall, of harmony. Now, they didn't need to fall away from that again either, did they? They could have continued to do it. But the Satan entered in to their souls. He led them astray. And in a few hundred years, they destroyed themselves completely. The Nephi people didn't need to do that. They could have followed after the ways of the Lord. They didn't need to do it, but they done it. The same as today, we don't need to follow after the world, and I hope that we won't. But we need to lead a life that is good enough that the people will take note of it and have a desire to be with us in our group. And that's a pretty tall order, but it can be done. But there are so many blessings that the Lord is willing to give to those that follow after him. But we know what the reward of those that don't follow after him is going to be. And just if we take time to read that story again, from the time that the people left Egypt, for the time preceding that, the blessings that was given to them, the things that happened to them, the blessings that they could have had and didn't get, it should tell us something, that we have got to go harder and harder to avoid having the same thing happen to any of us. And the same thing can happen, but there's a promise that's made to all of us, if we'll keep the commandments, that we're going to be blessed. And the same promise goes that if we don't keep them, we're going to be saved. And it doesn't take too long to figure out which one is better. If we were to think of what happened to those people as they left Egypt, wanted 40 years, and what happened to those people after Christ's crucifixion upon this land, and they were righteous, and the joy and happiness that they had, and that was here upon this earth. And the promise is as much greater to us in a life hereafter if we do what he's commanded us to do now. And it's my prayer that we might seek with greater diligence to keep his commandments, and to work one with another, that we might cause each other and strengthen each other to keep the commandments. And if we do this, we can be happier right now, and we know that we're going to be happier in the year hereafter.